Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Jody McDonald, it is time for This Week in Philadelphia Sports History. I take you back, my friend, to January 11th. Not exactly this day, but I got close. 2004. Do you remember what you were doing on that day?
January 11th of 2004. Other than watching NFL playoffs.
Well, that's it. That's pretty much all you need to answer.
No, I know where I was. I was out in front of Lincoln Financial Field. I was hosting the Eagles pregame show in 2004.
Well, that's interesting because I wasn't. So there you go.
Well, who do you think I passed it off to for the last 20 years?
That's correct.
Would be you, pal.
Yes, sir.
It's been a Mac or a Mac who's hosted the Eagles pregame show on the Eagles radio network for the last 20-plus years.
Yeah, so you know what I was doing that year? I was in the Tom Bigby doghouse at that point.
Really?
Yes, and I was hosting. We didn't have the broadcast at that time. That's when it was on YSP, and
I was hosting the pregame show, because yours truly was working at another radio station 85 miles north of here. But on weekends, I came back to host the Eagles pregame show on 94 WYSP.
Okay, oh, so you're doing for YSP. Okay.
Yes.
I got it. All right. So we didn't have the game, so what did we do for programming during the games? We did one of those shows of, you know, let's go around the league, and let's see, in Tampa, there's a field goal. Let's go down to our guy in Tampa. And I was doing that show during Eagle games, which I hated because I wanted to watch the Eagles game.
Right.
So on this day, I was doing that. Actually, I was doing it with Dick Girardi.
Dickie J.
Yes, he did it with me that year. It was an odd year. Anyway, the Eagles were the NFC East champions, and they were the one seed, which I didn't remember. They were coming off an opening week bye, and they were playing the four seed Green Bay Packers right here where I sit. Packers had beaten the Seahawks in overtime the week before. Mm-hmm. All right, let me take you to the game. Packers lead 17-14 in the fourth quarterback. In the fourth quarter, not quarterback. In the fourth quarter, Brett Favre, Donovan McNabb. Eagles get the ball late, very late. Deuce rips off a 22-yarder. Ooh. Then Donovan throws an incompletion. Not good. False start. Oh, no. Huge 11-yard sack on McNabb, Jody. Yikes. There's a minute and 12 seconds to go. The Eagles are down 3. All I need to say is it's 4th and 26. And then this. Chris Collinsworth can't believe it. The Packers coverage broke down. I will be honest, because I called this up this week and watched it about 20 times. Nothing against Freddie Mitchell, who made a great catch, or Donovan, who made a great throw. Eagles got a pretty generous spot on that one.
If you look at it, it
was close, and they give it to Freddie by like a yard and a half, but he got it. Eventually, David Akers ties the game with a 37-yard field goal. It goes into overtime. Brett Favre throws a duck up there, a ridiculous pass that Brian Dawkins intercepts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
He returns at 35 yards. Another Akers field goal. Eagles win. Eagles win. They go on to, well, they go on to Carolina, where they end up losing the title game 14-3 in those right. years where they kept losing those games. But what do you remember about that day, 4th and 26?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, it takes the sting out of 3rd and 30 by the Cowboys. A little bit. Not completely, but a little bit.
It's what we all thought about.
Yeah, exactly right. Number two, did I ever tell you my Freddie Mitchell story?
No, but I got one or two, so go ahead.
I can guarantee you that mine predates yours.
Okay.
Because I met Freddie Mitchell when he was 17 years old.
Wow.
He was a very good baseball player in Lakeland, Florida.
Oh, okay.
Which is the home of Joseph Anthony Aloysius McDonald Sr.
Yeah,
so Tigers. It was March, and I was down there for spring training and staying at my father's house, and he said, "Hey, you want to go to a high school baseball game today?" And I said, "Yeah, if you want to, Dad, sure." The local high school about 5 miles from my father's house, St. Catherine's, I think it was playing. And he said, they've got a draft-eligible kid. He's a pretty good player. He probably deserves to go somewhere in the 10 to 20-round range, but I don't think that's where he's going to be drafted because everybody believes he's going to play football on the West Coast. So he went to the game. Freddie Mitchell plays. He got a couple of hits, made one really good defensive play. My father and two other scouts were there. After the game was over, we all went over just to shake his hand, tell him good game, introduce us, blah, blah, blah. And Freddie put on the charm. Oh, my God. My first love is baseball. If I were to be drafted high, I would not even consider playing football anymore. I'm a baseball player first and foremost. And he put the charm on for about 5 minutes, and he left. And one of the scouts turned to my father and said, yeah, he's got no chance to ever play baseball. He's a football player. He's going to UCLA. Mark it down. He's never going to play baseball. He ended up being a 50th round choice. Now, my father was telling me he deserved to go somewhere between rounds 10 and 20. So he had the talent to potentially make it to the major leagues today. But everybody and his brother knew he was going to UCLA to play both baseball and football. And he wasn't winning over anybody that day. He tried. Man, he threw on the Freddie charm for that one to try and convince the three teams that were there watching him to draft him higher than maybe he deserved to be drafted. But he was a very entertaining young man at age 17. And the thing, I don't know if we have it handy, but that 4th and 26 lent itself to one of the greatest quotes in the history of sports quotes. Do you know to what I refer?
I know a great Freddie Mitchell quote, but I actually think it's from a different moment. So you tell me what you've got.
Oh, no. And maybe you're right, but I don't think so. Was that not after 4th and 26 where Freddie Mitchell thanked his hands?
I thought you may be right, and I may be wrong, because now we're going back, you know, between 15, 20 years on this stuff. I thought the Freddie Mitchell, I want to thank my hands, was when he made the tip catch against the Vikings playoff game. Yes, thank you, Bill Matz. I think that was the Vikings playoff game, but regardless.
Okay.
It was.
That is one of the all-time. If we're talking about Freddie Mitchell did a lot of colorful things during his time here in Philadelphia. Nothing topped "I'd like to thank my hands."
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned.
So, first of all, Freddie Mitchell, UCLA, his college roommate was?
Chase Utley.
Right. Who was a much better draft pick by a Philadelphia team. So I will be honest and tell you, I always thought Freddie was kind of a jerk. And I know, I have friends who like him and know him, and Freddie's done some charity stuff that I've seen, and I give him a lot of credit for that. So maybe jerk may not be the right word. But when he was here, first of all, he not only was a bad pick for a first rounder. Not his fault that he got picked, but he was not a first round pick. I mean, he played here 4 years and averaged 22 catches a year. He played here 4 seasons and had 5 touchdowns. Freddie was just not very good. But I remember 2 things with Freddie Mitchell. I remember one, headed into the Super Bowl, he opened his big fat slobbering mouth and said, "I'm going after that number 37, man. I'm going to embarrass him." You remember that? And you remember who that was? That was Rodney Harrison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Bright Freddie. Freddie's quotes were entertaining. They weren't always well advised.
No. Before the Super Bowl, to give the other team bulletin board material was a really bad idea. But this is the other one I remember. And I think it might have been during Freddie's second year, in which his second year he played all 16 games and had 12 catches for 105 yards and no touchdowns. And Steve Fredericks, God rest his soul, is on WIP doing a show. Had to be a weekend afternoon because I was driving around listening to it on the weekend. And Steve Fredericks is ripping Freddie Mitchell a little bit. And Freddie Mitchell did the thing that players should never do. Well, two things. One is he listened to people talking about him on WIP. Never really advised. Second thing he did is he called in. And he called in to Steve Fredericks and challenged him.
Really? I've never heard this story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What do you know? And then the one thing, this was the greatest thing. Freddie said to Steve, and by the way, Steve Fredericks was one of the cleverest, craftiest, quick-thinking guys I've ever heard on this station.
Agreed.
Steve could come back with a retort. And so Freddie hears Steve ripping him and calls up and says to Steve Fredericks, who, by the way, Steve was in his mid-50s at the time, how many touchdown passes have you caught in the NFL? To which Steve Fredericks says, one fewer than you,
Fredericks. Oh, nice line. Love it.
And it was great. And it was a great comeback. But Freddie had the moment, and 4th and 26 will be there forever, and it kept the Eagles alive in the playoffs one more week. And by the way, the Packers defensive coordinator got fired the day after that.
Understood, understandable. Yeah.
So that was a good one, and that is this week in Philadelphia sports history. 215-592-9494. We've cleared out the lines for you. One thing I will ask you, Jody McDonald. It goes against everything the Eagles have done all year. They will not do this today. However,
I know I'm in agreement with you before you even ask the question.
I think I do know that you are. If I were Nick Sirianni and the Eagles win the coin toss today, I would say we're taking the ball and we're going to score.
Glenn, it is something I harp on, both here on WIP and on my Birds 365 show. I understand the analytics of it. I don't need to have it explained to me again, the whole you can get the back-to-back possession, score at the end of the first half, get it right back, score at the end of the second half, momentum, all of I acknowledge all of those things, and I realize all of those things. But the fact that the Eagles do it by rote, as soon as the coin toss is flipped, if they win, they defer. They don't think about it. They don't analyze it. They don't give any thought to their opponent that they're playing and the matchup on that given day. They don't even give thought to themselves on what would be best for them if they could do what they wanted to do and had faith in themselves. It just automatically, you win, we kick. And I think that it's foolish. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's a major hole in Nick Sirianni's potential coach of the year resume. I am 100% in agreement with you. If they win the coin toss today, you should say, we're getting Jalen out there. We're going to march it down the field. We're going to run it down the Giants' backups' throats. We're going to establish the fact that this game is officially over. Mm-hmm. If they win the coin toss today, I guarantee you they defer.
They will defer. But for every reason you just stated, like, let's get the nonsense out of the way. We score. You're done. We're going to win. And, they won't do it. All right.
Nope.
All right, let's get Ted up here, who wants to remember the 4th and 26. What do you got, Ted?
Well, I was actually at the game at the mm-hmm. link,
yep.
And against Green Bay, and I had dinner with Freddie Mitchell a couple of months ago down at where my daughter worked down in next to the hills. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
we were talking, and he told me the whole shebang about what happened with the 2003 Super Bowl. Okay, we're down in the cab, and Andy Reid said, "Listen, this is the deal. This is the rules that you guys got to abide by. You can't go out and go drinking and doing this." And what they said about, you know, Donovan McNabb throwing up in the huddle, okay, was true. But you know, granted that Tom Brady, okay,
wait, hold on, I got to back you up. We know that Donovan retched, throw up, whatever it was in the huddle because we saw it. What does that have to do with Andy's rules for the week?
No, well, Freddie was telling me that him and Donovan McNabb did not get along at all. I mean,
Freddie was telling you this story because he doesn't like McNabb.
Well, no, it was both. It was back and forth. You know what I mean? They didn't get along.
I understand, but this plays more to the character of Freddie Mitchell than anything else. But okay, go ahead.
Well, I know Freddie doesn't have. You know, I know Freddie has some demons behind him. But I had dinner with him. I sat down and with him for two and a half. He told me everything. You know about it. But you know, if you want to believe, whatever the case may be. Okay, but I said 4th and 26. He goes, no, it wasn't 4th and 26. It was 4th and 23. And McNabb was desperate, and that's what got us into the 2003 playoffs against Atlanta. You know what I mean? So, right. You know, I don't know where the lesser two evils here.
I don't know what 4th and 23 was, Jody. I think we all know it was 4th and 26.
Yeah, Freddie thought it was 4th and 23. maybe he should have been paying better attention.
Whatever. He got to the marker.
He got 27, as you pointed out. They had like a yard past the sticks, and yeah. I don't know that he got quite that far, but he got far enough to get the fourth down conversion, which was 4th and 26, not 23.
They gave him a very generous placement, and you know what? That worked out just fine for the Eagles, and they won the game, and that's great. And you know what? I don't need to take that guy's thought process any further because I didn't understand it a little bit.
Nor did I.
Coming up, we will take more calls, presumably better than that one. 215-592-9494. And Jody and I will pick some games from today as we continue toward a 4:25 kickoff. Eagles against the Green Bay Packers, excuse me. Eagles against the New York Giants, the faux Giants, here at Lincoln Financial Field. Jody McDonald, Glenn Mack now. A 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.